Yeah, which one? We discussed the
15, no?
which one? We discussed no. We did parts 20, 21, parts of 21, Matthew 25, 1 Thessalonians. We discussed the 1 year, 1,000 years of peace, right? That's what the guy was asking about today. Let me see that.
Revelation 29.
So yeah,
One.
we discussed Revelation 20. So we discussed how after Jesus comes, the angel is, I mean, Satan is stuck here on this earth for 1,000 years, and the righteous will return to heaven for 1,000 years with Jesus. And 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, which spoke of the Lord descending from heaven and how the dead will rise, and righteous dead will rise and be caught up to go to heaven with him. And then we discussed that these included in Revelation 20 verse 4, it included those, I'll read a part of the verse, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither his mark, dot, dot, dot. And then we spoke of Satan being here, chained to a bottomless pit. He has no one to deceive. At the end of the 1,000 years, Jesus returns to the earth with these people to the New Jerusalem, and then the graves are open for the second resurrection, where the unrighteous are resurrected, and when the New Jerusalem descends to earth, which will be the new earth, then the 1,000 years are expired, and Satan gets together with the unrighteous, and they get together to battle. Yeah, they call it Gog and Magog, right? That's in verses 7-9, and after that, New Jerusalem, they attack the holy city. God executes judgment against them, and they are destroyed. We have nothing to fear who believe in Christ and who are with Christ, and that is the end of he brings fire upon those that are lost. So today we're discussing the great white judgment throne, and we're reading a bit. So if I can share out the verses, if somebody can read Ezekiel 28:12-17.
Ezekiel 28.
12-17.
12-17.
Are you gonna read that, Noemi?
Yeah.
12-14, sorry. No, 12-17. Oh gosh, what's where's my head?
12-15.
12-17. Isaiah 14, Ramon.
Ezekiel 28. 12-17.
That's right.
Okay.
Ramon, Isaiah 14:12-14. Virginia, Matthew 4:8-9. When we get to it, Hilma, Revelation 12:7-9. I'll read Romans 8:7, and then Marianne, if you could read Revelation 20:11-13 when we get to it, and then we'll start again with the next few.
You get as well.
Oh, you can do Romans 14:11-12.
What do you want me to read?
Romans 14:11-12.
Yeah.
And then we'll start again. Yeah. So we're starting by speaking of Lucifer, who was created as a wise and beautiful angel. However, he was not satisfied with his position. Of course, we know that, right? The prophet Ezekiel describes Lucifer as, in Ezekiel 28:12-17.
Ezekiel 28:12-17. You want me to read now?
Yeah.
Okay. Ezekiel 28:12-17 says, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus said the Lord God, who was filled of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz and diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise and emerald with gold, the workmanship of your timbrel and pipe was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stone. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing, out of the mountain of God. And I destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stone. Your heart was lifted up because of your sin. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings, that they might gaze at you. Yeah.
That's 17, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ezekiel described Lucifer's original position in heaven using the symbol of the king of Tyrus.
Mm.
So, we studied that in our lesson, didn't we?
Yeah, lesson of today.
Yeah. So Lucifer's pride led him to desire to be exalted to the position of God and be worshipped by all creation. Isaiah 14:12-14.
Isaiah 14:12-14. Okay, so the 2:14, all right. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? You are weakened, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mount of congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Mm-hmm. That's 14.
That's 14, yeah. So we see this desire to be worshipped in his last temptation of Christ in the wilderness. So in Matthew 4:8-9.
Again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.
Hey, Virginia, you're reading from the, not reading from the clear one.
No.
Oh, okay.
My phone.
Okay. All right. So we see that, okay, it's actually very sad to see that, we know that evil started in heaven. We know that sin started in heaven, and we know that the origin of this was pride, isn't it? It wasn't anything else. It was pride But it, that pride led to so many other sins. Desire of Satan. So the desire, this desire of Satan's to be worshipped as God, it then led to conflict in heaven between the angels who followed him and those who remained faithful to God. So in Revelation 12, 7 to 9, we read.
Yes. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. That's it.
Romans 8:7. Marianne, you there? Marianne's not there, so I'll read it.
No, I'm Revelation 20:11-13.
Oh, I said I'll read. Okay, I'll read Romans 8:7, which says, so the same spirit of pride and rebellion is in the heart of sinful man. So when we sin, this is sadly the mind that is in us. Romans 8:7 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Remember in our lesson study, Ramon, that person, I can't remember his name, the really fair person who sat next to Sister Suzette, he was speaking about how there's a law of sin.
Yes.
We are naturally inclined to the law of sin.
From your sinful often, sin still enters the world. We are sinful until the end of time.
This is why at the end of 1,000 years of Revelation 20, at the end of the 1,000 years of Revelation 20, the resurrected followers of Satan still have rebellion in their hearts and try to attack the New Jerusalem. Strange, isn't it?
I was going to say, that's a bit it's difficult to fathom, you know, because you think after witnessing everything that's happening around us, like us, everything around us, if we don't know Christ is coming, then we just know in theory. I suppose their mind and their heart have been so taken up, they can't fear anything else.
But in the last chapter, that we studied here, it says, and when in verses 7 to 9 of Revelation 20, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. So where they are risen from, he will go to still deceive them even more. So they were in a state of sleep. They just woke up. And then he goes to deceive them. But he was the author, because remember, before their death, those who are living, before their death, they would have already chosen between the seal of God and the mark of the beast.
Yes.
So they're already still living in their deceptive state, right?
So like there is no, I was trying to think which chapter of the Bible, after that fall, there'd be no coming back for those things, which is in plain English. I can't remember. I will find it then.
Father, where did you read it from? Romans?
Which one?
The one you just read.
Revelation 20 verse 7.
Romans.
Romans 8 verse 7. Romans 8 verse 7. You want to read it again?
No, I'll read it on my time.
Okay. Yeah. So, I'm going to read that sentence again. This is why at the end of the 1,000 years of Revelation 20, the resurrected followers of Satan still have rebellion in their hearts and try to attack the New Jerusalem. Just before they are eternally lost, they will face what is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Great White Throne, in inverted commas, judgment. Revelation 20, verses 11 to 13. Marianne, that's you.
Sorry, I'm in the kitchen. Okay. And it said,
can you read?
Yes, yes. Okay. And it said, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is in the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I think this is the proper verse for the, the 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. This is the I said that that guy, he asked me because I want him to write his name on the business book.
Oh, yeah.
And he asked me, is that the book
of life?
The book of life. And I said, if I remember this, then I could have said, oh, now you need to see in Revelation 20. Now I know.
Now you know.
Yeah.
I think he, anyway, let's leave him out of this.
What's his name, sorry? Do you know his name?
Raul. Raul.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, when this great white throne judgment takes place, every lost soul will clearly see their life of rebellion and why they are lost.
This is when it's late, isn't it? You can see you are lost, but you can't do much about it. Yeah.
Yeah, the time was past. They were offered the branch of salvation, yeah? They said no.
Was God starting the lake of fire?
Actually, this is a very profound time because it makes us realize that every single thing that we think, single action of ours, we have to be so careful that we're not rejecting God in anything that we do. Because that sin that you get talks of, that sin of presumption, we think that we are right, you know, but we are presuming that we are right, but it's actually a sin.
Brother, can I just bring a different perspective on that? In Matthew 25, I think, which gives a very interesting point, when there are people who said to Jesus and call him Lord, Lord, and then Jesus said to them, depart from me, I never knew you. So that points out a group of people who were in theory following Jesus.
Yes.
But in action was not practicing the word of Jesus, to my mind.
Yes.
And this is where we've got to be very careful in terms of the application to ourselves, with the difference of being lost or being in heaven. So because you see Jesus said, my word I give you, my word I ask you to do. So it is insufficient for us to just know and understand, because we need to read, we need to know, we need to do. You see, and interestingly enough, those who did the word of God, and when Jesus said, when I was in prison they visited me, Matthew 25, and then they said, but Lord, when did we do that? And then he said, every time you did this to the least of some, to somebody, you did it to
me. Oh, my brethren, yeah, you did it.
Yeah. So there is quite a lot of interrelation with some of the verses in the gospel to what it is saying right now, to my mind at least.
Mm. So, speaking of those who are lost, every lost soul will clearly see their life of rebellion and why they are lost. I think that's just such a sad statement. As they stand before God's great, before God's judgment throne, so that means that part of the judgment will only be done when in the new earth, yeah?
When all the rebellious people, so to speak.
Yeah. Sorry, Nuri, you were saying?
Are you thinking when all the rebellious people will be standing up? Then their faith, that's like their faith on
Sinai. Yeah. So as they stand before God's judgment throne, they must face their life of sin and their rejection of God's offer of salvation through Christ. As the result of this powerful revelation of God and their unrighteousness, they bow before Him, acknowledging His just condemnation of their rebellion and sin. Revelation 14, 11 and 12. I think that's you get.
No, you gave me Romans.
Oh, Romans. I'm sorry. I meant Romans.
Oh, Romans, yes. Romans 14, verse 11, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, 11 and 12.
Yeah. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow before me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God.
Mm-hmm. Revelation, we'll start again. Noelle, if you can turn to Revelation 20, 14 and 15. Yeah, Raymond, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2, and Hilma, Zechariah 7, 11 to 13, and then wait for me.
Okay,
we're going to talk to you. No, wait.
Okay.
One Satan and his host of angels and all lost sinners acknowledge God's righteous judgment. Their final destruction will take place. Now you can read, Noelle.
Okay. 20:11-14.
14 to 15.
Okay. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the book. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his work. The death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Got my answer for next week.
Okay, but you were only supposed to read 14 and 15, but that's okay. Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay, we just recapped everything that we were talking about. So here we have the final destruction of the lost, and I take a moment here, because even though God has said it, it's not easy to digest, because these are some people that we...
There's a comment on that from the Great Controversy. Which for me to read it. Page 544-545, to the final end of sin and sinners. Since it is impossible for God, consistently with justice and mercy, to save the sinner in his sins, he deprived him of the existence which his transgression now forfeited, and of which he has proved himself unworthy, says an inspired writer. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, though shall diligently consider its place, though thou shalt diligently consider its place, and it shall not be. That is Psalm 37, verse 10. Covered with infamy, they sink into hopeless eternal oblivion. This will be made an end of sin, with all the woe and the ruin which are resulted from it. So it sounds like it's painful also to God to destroy the sinner. You don't know at that point.
Mm.
But because the sinner has not been willing to change, no?
Mm. Mm. I mean, whether it's a year, whether it's 5 years, whether it's a whole lifetime, people have, God won't let anyone go through without deciding,
but
without having a chance to accept.
Yeah. When you think of it though, it's equal balance, because God sent his son to die for everybody. So everybody has the same chance.
Yeah.
So everybody makes the choice.
Mm.
So those who choose to remain in sin, it's not God's choice. Okay.
Yeah.
Those who choose to follow Christ.
Yeah.
Patience.
Noelle, will you read 2 Corinthians 6 verses 1 to 2? No, not you. Raymond.
6:1-2.
Raymond.
Yeah.
Verse 2.
1 and 2.
Or 1 and 2. Okay. It says marks of the ministry. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
And Zechariah 7, sorry?
It's like final. It's now. If you don't accept it now, that's it.
That's our ministry now, isn't it? That's what we have to, that's what we ought to be sharing with the world now. And then finally Zechariah 7:11-13.
7, okay, I put the wrong chapter down. So I'm back to normal now. 11 to 13. But they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly they turned their backs and covered their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words that the Almighty, the Lord Almighty, had sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, saith the Lord Almighty.
Yeah. And that's what God says through Zechariah, his promise of those who refuse to heed God's appeal. So it's a very sad time for those that have chosen, but I think by after that 1,000 years that we have spent in heaven,
mm-hmm.
have searched and we will have gone through everything and we will know exactly where everybody stood. So here we see people. We just see them as relatives sometimes, or, you know, related to, or working with, or friends, or whatever, however we see people.
Mm.
But we will have a good, a good picture of everything that has kept them from God. And, you know, I'm mindful of that verse, I don't know where it is now, But it says that neither mother nor father nor brother nor anybody should the love for God shouldn't us and our love for God.
The love for God is primary thing number one, no?
I'm just this question that is that that thousand of years. Is that after when we were like, there was a time that God will wipe our tears because we will see some of our relatives that or loved ones that hasn't come to Him. So I think we will see them like suffer. That's why we will cry. Is that after the 4,000 years or before?
When we get to heaven, that is in Revelation 22, isn't it? When we get to heaven, He's got a tree in heaven that will
wipe our tears.
One fruit for every month.
Heal our
hurts and dry our tears. What were you saying, Noeli? I'm sure we'll still come to that in this.
I was thinking.
Study.
The 1,000 years.
Yeah.
To me, seems like the cutoff point. Everything will be done before that. And the 1,000 years is like years of freedom for believers, and years of bottomless pit for Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The time when he'll be idle.
Yeah.
And you would think that in that time when he has no one to influence. He would take that as time for reflection and I don't know, you know, like think of what he's done wrong. Because in prison, that's what people do when they go to prison, right?
Yeah.
It's meant to give them that time to reflect and think where they went wrong and see if they were gonna their lives and make different decisions. And some people do that. We see on those programs on 3ABN how in the prison ministry that they make life to us. Some people take the opportunity and they do that and they actually lead in the worship services in prison. And they reach out to their prison mates. And you'll see people in prison crying when the messages are.
Yeah.
That's where you actually see repentance, you know. But Satan.
No, there has to be a cutoff point. This is finished to me. This is God.
Yeah.
And the righteous.
You know, I'm actually thinking that when Satan did his nonsense in heaven. I'm sure, because we know that some of the angels spoke to them, to the evil angels that left, to warn them that this isn't acceptable behavior.
Mm.
So even they had a chance to repent.
That's what I meant, yeah.
In heaven.
What it said, you know, what it said. God in his justice and mercy to save sinners in his sin and deprive him of existence for which he has proved himself unworthy. So up to that point, if anybody repents from his sin, then they'll be forgiven.
Mm.
But after that, if anybody don't repent, so you make yourself unworthy for the grace of God.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, what did they say about the Holy Spirit? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, for blood you were sealed on the day of judgment, until you were sealed on the day of judgment.
Yeah. And in essence, that's what everybody has committed before they... before they die the second, even when they die the first death, isn't it? Because their books have been, their judgment has already, their probation has already closed. they've already gone through a judgment. So before they die, God knows whether they will be in the second or the first resurrection.
I remember the conversation with Raul. He asked me if my name was written in the book of life, then I say, well, we are all wanted to be in the book of life, written in the book of life, but only God knows if our names is written there. That's, I don't know if that's how exactly I say, but that's, I wanted that, I want him to know that. Then, are we all, but only God knows if we are, our names is written in the book of life.
Yeah, but, I don't know, I suppose we have an idea from the very basic of things. Everybody says, whatsoever the world I descend is only begotten, whoever. But it doesn't mean whoever believes. Whoever believes will still sin until that point. So, but if you continue in your path, like of the vision, that's where you want to go, to the end, with Christ, you will be transformed gradually. If you go in Corinthians and Ephesians, all this stuff, you know, your life of sin doesn't change overnight, but say like if you smoke, you can't stop overnight, but if you do whatever, anybody, you know, from the minor to the major, but gradually it's transformed. So by the time you get to the book of life, your name or anybody's name should be written in.
I might be wrong, because I'm thinking might be including in that sealed book also the book of life, but I'm thinking
there's three books in heaven. One is the book of life, one is when we sin our names go on there, one another book where the blood of Jesus, so when we confess our sins, the blood of Jesus covers it, and then we go to the book of life, if you know how the
there was also a book that is in the Revelation that it said that the book has opened and John has saw it. That's why Holy Spirit asked him to write that those things he have seen.
That's a book of Revelation itself.
Well, you say the book were open.
The heavenly books.
That's why I'm conflict with the book of life and that sealed book, because that book in Revelation is also the sealed book.
It's not sealed anymore. People are
Because it's open.
Because
the question is, when do we enter in the book of life? That's a question individual. We all have to ask ourselves, how do we enter and when do we enter in the book of life?
Look, at the end of the day, there's also people who have been walking the walk. And then remember that word desire is the word that came up in one of our lessons. I'm not sure which lesson. But that is the thing that will keep us out of heaven, is if we are still tuned into our desires versus God's desire for us.
Worldly desire.
So the point
what did God say to, I think it's Daniel, for you, your times of a book or rest. In other words, for you, your book is already into the book of life. You can go to rest. My concern or my question is, how conscious are we into our life that we have to realize
there is a book of life. Do I want to be in that?
Because to me, otherwise, it makes nonsense of forgiveness. Because none of us are perfect, from the worst criminal in, across the land, wherever in Ukraine, and this and that.
That's another question. Forgiveness, God forgive you, but God is telling you don't repeat the same.
Yes, absolutely.
You can, today you committed something out of the blue or whatever it is, you ask for forgiveness, God forgive you. We live in a world of sin, and Satan is there watching every opportunity to see you that lovely book that he did in the Garden of Eden. And we happen to sin, but God will forgive again. God says he will forgive you countless yeah. times.
Yeah.
As long as it depends on us.
Yeah. But I think our duty, our main duty on this earth is to see everybody as candidates for heaven. And that no judgment stands between us and them, us and others. And leave the rest to God. I mean, there are some things that he gives us wisdom through his word, but there are some things that we will get the answers for in heaven. And I think we just have to learn how to rest in him.
Let God work in our lives.
Yeah.
We are weak.
Yeah.
We have to let God give us the strength. And let him lead the way. He will lead us to that book of life. We have to allow him to lead us to the book of life.
And pray that we're all in the first resurrection, shall we?
I just want to support that. And there are a number of Bible verses that actually endorses what we see here. But I pick out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12.
Yeah.
Although indirectly, but to me it speaks that we know we're in the book of life. Stand firm. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. So therefore, it is recognizing of the work that God is doing through us, sanctifying us through His Spirit, and the belief in the truth. That's why I bring back about Matthew 25. Lord, Lord, did we not do that? And God says, away, I don't know you, depart from me. You see? And elsewhere also, God says that I will send a spirit of delusion to them, because people may have given in so much in believing what the Satan's lies to the point that they become blinded to the truth. And then in verse 14, God says, He called you to this through our gospel, that we should the gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teaching we pass on to you, whether by word of mouth or letter. So that's the gospel which we have. Then Paul concludes, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us by his grace, gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Therefore, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. So that, in fact, is part of a template that Jesus is asking us to live by. If we live by this, our name is written in the book of life. It is a matter of choice. It is a matter of belief. It is a matter of the gospel of truth and the sanctifying of God's work in our lives by the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Yeah.
Finish.
Can I just add in that verse that you were referring to, you get was Matthew 25, verse 4.
Yes.
Says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, he cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So even when Satan is troubling us, we can actually repeat this verse.
Mm.
You know, remind Satan where he's heading.
But you see, one final point in terms of rebuking Satan, which is and very reassuring, which is found in Psalm 27, verse 5. Through David, God says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock." And the rock is none other but Jesus Christ himself. There's the assurance that we have when Satan is trying to delude us. If we believe in the truth and trust God and in the teaching of the gospel, God himself will protect us. Hence it says in the Psalm 27, verse 5. Finish?
More. I'm over. I'm done.
Okay.